We have this privilege to remember our Lord's death together and to worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth and to consider His will for our lives. This morning I would like for us to think about a principle that the Bible teaches us that applies to life itself, and it's one I hope that will encourage us all to practice each day. And that's the principle of giving and receiving. Brother Bill used this in the table talk this morning in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, where the Apostle Paul quoted from our Lord's words. Interesting quote because it isn't contained in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but it is something that Paul brings to the attention of the elders, something that they were aware of, that the Lord did say, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Giving and receiving is an important element of life. It is the substance of life. When you think about your life and the lives of others, why God put us here, it is important that we understand giving and receiving. When we were born into this world, God gave us our life. How much were we able to give when we were born into this world? Well, it seems that we weren't able to give very much, doesn't it? When you were a baby, you were able to give a little bit to your parents. You gave your parents smiles. You gave them happiness. Because God had given you baby good looks. You were cute. And so with what God gave you, you were able to give something else, even though you didn't mean to. God showed us right from the start this principle of giving and receiving. God gave you something, and with that, you were able to give others happiness. But other than that, as babies, we couldn't give very much, could we? We had to do a lot of receiving, and that was all right. As long as we were babies, it's all we could do is receive the care from our mother and father, brothers and sisters and relatives. We had to receive a lot of care, and that was so that we could grow up. And as we grew, the sign of maturing was we began to be able to do more. We began to be able to give more and do less receiving. And we all accept this as a part of growing up. There are some parts of that we don't like to give up. There's some things we'd rather mom would keep doing for us. But there's other things we're glad that mom and dad don't have to do it for us anymore. How would you like it if you went to high school and there in the cafeteria there was a high chair and a mother waiting for her son, who's a senior in high school, to come in so she can feed him? Why, it's almost incredible to even imagine that. What high school senior would ever be near that kind of a situation? What senior would ever want to be there? Because when it comes to eating, we can give. We can give the effort to get it ourselves. We don't have to have somebody give it all to us anymore. Well, when you think of the spiritual realm, we need to understand that this rule still applies. Spiritually, when we are born into the kingdom of God, we do need to receive. We need to be like newborn babes, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. We need to receive the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. So it's receiving at first, but then if you will receive it and grow with it, you'll get to the point where you can start feeding yourself. And you won't have to be so dependent on others. I remember a brother in the church talking about a new convert. He said, when he first came into the church, he was always asking me questions. But then I noticed he started growing a lot, and pretty soon, he didn't ask me questions anymore. And it kind of disturbed him because it made him feel like he'd outgrown him. And this was a brother who'd been in the church for many years. But that's the way it's supposed to go. We're supposed to grow so that we learn how to feed ourselves. If you give the effort to grow, you will soon develop the teeth. God will give you the teeth He'll give you the ability to get the food yourself. So this is the principle of giving and receiving, just one example of how it applies to life itself. This congregation here is designed to try to encourage giving and receiving, not just receiving. Some people would like a church where it's all receiving, kind of like when you sit down and watch television. When you sit down and watch television, that's pretty much receiving, isn't it? You have to make the effort to sit down and pick up a remote control, but you don't have to give too much. That's why people like it. It's just a lot of receiving. Well, there's people that have done that with the church. They've turned the church into receiving. Come and receive. Come and receive. Come and get. Well, you can get something that way, but you know, if you learn to give and receive, you get more. You really get more. If you ask a Bible question, for example, and the brother who knows the Bible really well gives you the answer, you got the answer, but will you really keep the answer? It's likely that you will not remember the answer, even though you got it. You didn't really get it because you didn't have to give anything to get it. You didn't have to pay for it. When you pay for something, you're giving. And when you pay for it, you appreciate it more. I'll never forget the time when we, you know, when you think about giving, you think about studying and coming up against obstacles in the Christian life. You talk about coming up against different ideas. Here's somebody that comes along, they're teaching something from the Bible, it seems, but it's different than the way you understand the Bible. Well, how do I know? They might be right. It's different than what I thought the Bible said, but maybe they're right. Well, the only way I'll ever know is if I give. I have to give the time, the study, to find out what's right. We came up, met a group of people, a real fine group of men who believed some things that were very different than what I believed in the Bible. They believed that the Lord's Supper was no longer applicable to Christians. Never met anyone like that. They believed that baptism in water was no longer applicable at all. And they had some verses that seemed to support their thinking. So I had to do a lot of studying in order to engage in a study with these men. And then, after we'd studied for a while, they told me, we're going to call our preacher from Texas, and he'll come and explain it even better. He really knows this idea. Well, that kind of scared me. And before the study, I was saying, if only Rick Sparks could be here for this study. Because Rick could explain this to these guys. He could explain it so much better than I can. And he understands this subject so much better. And so I was hoping for somebody to help me out. But I had to come to the realization that I'm not going to get anything if I don't give something. I have to give the effort, the study, otherwise I'll never know. And as it turned out, it came out just fine, because found out that the man who was teaching these things that were wrong, he had made a good show in the flesh. He was a handsome man. He was an eloquent speaker. But there wasn't really much inside. There was really nothing to be afraid of. But if I hadn't been willing to face that, I never would have known that. Giving and receiving, that's what life is. And the more you want to receive, the more you must give. That's so important to remember. In the beginning, this is what we learn about God, isn't it? Isn't God a giver? The very first thing we find out about God in Genesis chapter 1 is that God is giving something to us. He's not alone giving us this marvelous life that we have here on earth with the body that is so incredible to consider. But He's giving us a very good place to live. A heaven and an earth that is wonderful. And Adam and Eve get to live in paradise, the Garden of Eden. Well, how did Adam and Eve do with what God gave them? Did they give back to God what was right? Well, when they sinned against God, that wasn't giving back to God the right way, was it? And as a result, they had to give up. They had to lose what God gave them. If we don't take care of what God gives us, we cannot hold on to it. Giving and receiving. And then how did mankind do with the earth? Well, mankind didn't do very well with it. And that's why God destroyed the earth that then was, the days of Noah. Now we're on that second try, and we're not really doing real well the second time, are we? But God's going to do it one more time. He's going to create new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. In that new land, only the righteous will live. But now we have to show that we take care of what God gives us. When God gives us something, we use it in the right way. We use it in a way that gains glory for God instead of just consuming it and using it all up. God's looking for those who are righteous. They're the ones that learn to give back to God because they acknowledge what God has given to us. God commands us to give because that's what He is like. In giving, and this morning we're not really talking so much about money, although the principle applies to money as well, but we're talking about ourselves, first of all, and whether we give ourselves of our time, of our attention, do we give to those things that are righteous? God's asking us to do that because God is a giver. God's ultimate gift was the gift of His Son. Who would give up their Son? Who would give up their Son in order to obtain something? It would make the news if it happened today. If some ordinary family had one son, they gave up that one son for someone who was a criminal, it would make the news. But this is what God did for us 2,000 years ago. And in His mind, in His intentions, He did it from the foundation of the world. So God had always intended to give this much for our salvation. And in return, He wants us to give to Him. Giving is something God wants us to do. The 6th chapter of Luke is very helpful on this. I like the 6th chapter of Luke as it puts in different words some of the same things that we read in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. So in Luke chapter 6, he's talking about how we're going to be different if we're Christians. If we're following Jesus, we'll be different because we will learn not to do like everybody else does. What do you more than others? Jesus asks. You know, if you just give to people that give to you, that's kind of normal, isn't it? Just kind of to be expected. That's just a natural reaction. But to go beyond that and truly be like your Father in heaven means that you'll learn to give even to people that haven't given to you. People that really need it. And that's usually who really needs it. It's the ones that can't give. So give to them. He says in verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Isn't that a really good description of giving and receiving? And he's indicating here that one of your motives for giving should be to receive. Now, you have to be careful with that, though. It's not that I'm going to try to receive something from you, but God wants us to give so that we'll receive something from Him. God wants to be the one who gives. So that's why you can give to the poor. You can give to those that can't recompense, because your confidence is God will remember this. And so it doesn't matter if they ever pay me back. It doesn't matter. It's fine. I just want to give and find out the truth of what Jesus said, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So you keep giving, and you're glad to do it. But God wants you to do this because you're looking for glory from Him. The glory that comes at the last day. That's when God says He pays you back for giving to the poor. Always makes me think of our daughter Grace. One time we were out having a pizza one night, and Luann said, "You kids have really been good today. I'm just really happy with you guys, and I appreciate it when your behavior is good." And Grace is sitting there on her knees, I think, on the seat, and she's chewing on her pizza, and she goes, "How about paying us for being good?" And her older sister Wendy said, "We don't get paid for being good. We get paid on the last day." So we were glad to hear her help her sister out with her understanding of giving and receiving, but it was nice to hear them say that. Giving and receiving is something we do because God will pay us back on the last day. And if you get something between now and then, that's fine. That's good. But don't give up just because you're not getting anything now. We're getting a lot if we just think about it. God wants us to give, and I don't fully understand all that means. Some of you may understand that better than I do, and probably do, but I just get the picture here that what men are going to give back to you is an abundance. Pressed down, shaken together, good measure, running over. I think of businesses where they're very generous in giving to you, like the bait shop. They advertise a dozen minnows for a dollar, but you think the guy counts 12 minnows out for you? No, he's very generous. He just scoops up a whole net full of minnows and puts them in, and he doesn't care if it's 24 or however many it is. He's very generous with you, and that in turn makes you glad to give to him, makes you glad to come back again. So it's only good for him to be generous like that because it makes customers want to come back. Jesus is saying if you will give, if you'll give generously, it's going to be given generously to you. People will use the measurement you use to measure it back to you. And what are the things that we give? Well, one of the things that we give, just as an example of what Jesus is talking about, is you and I can give mercy to people. How do you do when you give out mercy? What's your measure when you give out mercy? Do you use a teaspoon? How about a teaspoon of mercy? Would a teaspoon be enough mercy for you? How about a cup? How about a bushel? See, people vary as to what measure they use when giving out mercy. I knew a member of the church one time. He was a pretty strict man, and he came across as maybe feeling like, you got the impression maybe he felt like he was better than you. Anyway, a member of the church got in trouble one time, and when it was time to show mercy, he didn't show very much mercy at all. And it caused a lot of resentment. A few years later, the same brother, who didn't give out much mercy, did something wrong himself. And he needed mercy. And do you think people got out their measuring cups for him? He didn't receive any mercy. Because it seemed like that's all people remembered. They remembered that he wasn't very generous when he gave out mercy, so they weren't willing to give it to him. Jesus is teaching us here, the measure you use to give to other people will be used when it's time to give to you. So give in a way that people can see you're generous when something needs to be given generously. God wants us to give Him our very best. And one of the very best things we can give the Lord is our heart. The 51st Psalm, verses 15 through 17, where David says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise." Excuse me. God is asking you and me for our hearts. And he's asking for humble hearts. If you give God a proud heart, he will not accept it. There are people that try to do that, but it won't work. You know, people have asked God for lots of things, and they've asked amiss. They've asked for the wrong reasons. You've probably seen the example before of a person who doesn't believe in God. You know, they'll ask God for something. They'll say something like, if there's a God in heaven, let him strike me with lightning right now. They'll ask God to do that. Now, think about why God would not answer that request. Well, it's not in keeping with God's nature, is it? It would not glorify God at all for God to answer that request. God's not going to make himself appear to be a childish in thinking to respond to somebody's taunts and dares and challenges. That's not God. God wants to respond in a good way to us. He wants to respond to good requests. On the other hand, if you give God a humble heart, if you humble yourself and you put yourself down on your knees when you make your request to God, that's when God can really start giving to you. That's when you can really start receiving. That's when you're really on the high ground, is when you're humble in heart, because you're giving God what he asked for. He asked for your humble heart, and then he can work with it. Not only does God ask for our hearts, he asks for our bodies. Romans 12, 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul, instead of commanding the gift, he's asking for it, begging for it, pleading for it, in light of the mercies of God. Brethren, think about what God has given to you. What have you received from God? In light of what you've received from God, give your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what Paul wants us to do, and he begs us to do that in light of what we've received from God. That's the way God accepts it, is if you understand, God's been so good to me, I can give him my body. I can give him my life. One of the things that this principle is brought out in is in the 6th chapter of Galatians, when Paul talks about sowing and reaping. You remember that passage there? He has to remind us not to be deceived there, because it's real easy to deceive ourselves on this giving and receiving. We can think that we'll receive even though we haven't given anything. And that's a dangerous deception. Galatians 6, beginning in verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, and that's giving, isn't it? To sow, you have to give up the seed. You have to sow it. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever you give out is what you're going to get back. If you give out love, you will give love, you will receive love back. If you give out ridicule, if you give out disrespect, if you give out contempt, then that's what you'll get back. That's what you'll get back. It's hard for people to respect you when you don't show respect. It's hard for people to love you when you don't show any signs of love. Whatever you sow is what you will reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. The flesh is corrupting. It's decaying. It's getting old. So if you keep spending all your time with the flesh, look what you're going to get back. Nothing. In the end, you won't have anything. We have to learn, as a part of growing up and maturing, to start giving to the Spirit. Giving to the unseen. Giving to God. Giving to the brethren. Giving to the church. This is what we learn to do. And then in return, we'll receive of the Spirit life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. And reaping is receiving, isn't it? If we faint not. Some people will be robbed of their reward because they gave up too soon. They got too tired. Please don't give up if you're tired this morning. Don't give up. You'll receive if you keep going. It gets discouraging when the enthusiasm of starting out wears off. It can become discouraging and tiresome to keep doing good, but don't give up. Paul says, if you keep giving, you will receive everlasting life. Now, one of the things, brethren, that I've noticed about giving and receiving is that we often do not appreciate what we have received. We do not appreciate what others have given to us. It's the idea of thankfulness and gratitude. But it's so important to remember that we need to appreciate what we've received. That's a part of this cycle of giving and receiving. You remember the story of the poor widow who gave her two mites to the treasury of the temple, and how Jesus and the disciples were enabled to watch the proceedings as people gave their gifts. And they got to see these very well-to-do Jews come and bring generous offerings. Now you have to picture, we're talking about appreciating here. People appreciated what those rich ones were giving, didn't they? They were impressed with what they gave. Look at how much he gave. That's amazing. I don't make that much in a year, and that's what he's giving as a gift. So people are impressed with this kind of giving. But the poor widow comes along. And how many people would have been impressed with her gift? How many would have despised, looked down upon what she was doing and not appreciated it? Thought, why bother? What a poor gift that is. But brethren, Jesus did not look at it that way. Jesus was impressed. Jesus did not despise that woman's gift. He said, I tell you the truth, this woman has given more than all the rest. She's given more. That's the way we need to learn to look at giving. If the world thinks it's really great, that might be a danger sign. If the world doesn't appreciate it, that might mean that it might be a good thing to give. The world doesn't always look at giving and receiving from the right perspective, because they look at it with earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom is, what does it get you now? What's it get you here in this earth? But God appreciates it from a spiritual and eternal standpoint. We talked to a sister in the church who lost her husband this last spring, and as we were visiting with her, she said, you know, when my husband was alive, I used to wonder what he did all the time. I used to think, what does he do all day? Come home and he'd be sitting there in front of the TV. I'd go, did he do anything today? But she said, you know, the other night, I stayed up until 1:30 in the morning doing all those things that he never did. She found out after he died all the things that he did. And now she was feeling bad because she didn't appreciate it while he was alive. He didn't draw attention to what he was doing. He didn't say, you don't realize all the stuff I do for this family. He never did that. He just quietly did it, just quietly gave. And she didn't even know what she was receiving. She didn't even know all he was doing. It made me think, well, how many people do that for me? How many people have done things for me and I have no idea they've done it for me? And what's really bad is not only can you not appreciate it, but you might even think evil thoughts. You might even think that they're doing bad things or that they're not doing anything, which is terribly unfair. This, of course, is what parents go through with their children. Parents raise their children. And when they're little, it's pretty hard for them to appreciate what's going on. But that's why parents are always glad when their children have children of their own. And then they start getting a little bit of appreciation back. But that's the way God wants us to learn, to realize what your parents went through. If they're good parents, they're not going to tell you about all they did for you. They're just going to do it because they're glad to do it for you. But we hope that they learn while there's still time to appreciate what others do for them. And you can pay your parents back by taking good care of your own children. And that's what the Lord wants us to do in this cycle of giving and receiving. Well, we have two examples of giving and receiving in the Old Testament that I want to leave with you this morning. The first one is the one that Brother Dwight read to us in 1 Kings chapter 3. When you ask yourself the question, how come Solomon became the wisest king? No king before him or after him that was like him. How did he get that way? Well, sometimes the first thing you might think of, well, is because God gave him the wisdom. And that's true. But remember, God gave him the wisdom because Solomon gave something to God. Don't act like, well, Solomon just got it. Well, Solomon had to do something to get it. And that's true in giving and receiving. You have to give something in order to get it back. And when you give something to God, God's always given you more back than what you gave. So true with Solomon. Solomon gave something great to God, but it was nothing compared to what God gave him. And the thing to notice about Solomon, that story tells us so much about the nature of God, how willing and glad God was to give to Solomon. He loved it. He was glad to do it. This what Solomon said to God was pleasing to God. It made God happy. You know, we talk about God giving grace to man, but we forget that we have to give grace to God. So, me? Give grace to God? I can't give God anything. Yes, you can. You can give him what he deserves. You can give him your favor. Is God in good favor with you? God's grace is when he shows that we're in favor with him. He likes us. We've found favor in his sight, so he gives abundantly. Nothing we earned, but giving because we have pleased him. And so God wants us to return grace. When we sit down to a meal and we return grace, that's what we're doing. God's been gracious to us. We're going to take a moment to thank him. That's the least we can do. And don't you love it that God was willing to give Solomon so much? Solomon, ask me for whatever you want. Now, how many people can you say that to? I can say that to my wife sometimes, and she laughs when I say it. She knows I have good intentions, but she knows I can't really do that, but she's glad that I at least try. But you can't really say that to many people, can you? Ask me whatever you want. But God could say it to Solomon. Solomon was in the right frame of mind. Solomon had the right heart. And so God could say, okay, ask me whatever you want. And Solomon wouldn't take advantage. Solomon asked for what he needed. And one of the things we need to give God, as we said, is the humble heart. That's what Solomon's doing. He's giving God a humble heart. He's saying, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I'm like a child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. Some people wouldn't give God a humble heart. They'd say, well, Lord, I kind of know how to do this. I know how to go out. I just need a little help in coming in. And so we would act like we've got it all under control. But Solomon knew the way to become wise is to become a fool. You got to admit, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. Please give me an understanding heart. God gave him the understanding heart. He gave him all the other things he didn't ask for. This is the kind of God who will give to you and me. That's what we need to remember when we think of giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. And if the Lord's willing, we'll talk about the other example this afternoon. But think about this as we live through the rest of this day and apply it to everything. Is this an opportunity for me to give so that God can give me more? Or is this something I'm just going to be giving and I'm the only one that's really going to get anything out of this? It's a good principle to apply, and God wants us to learn that it is truly more blessed to give than to receive. As we close this lesson, the invitation will be offered. If anyone here wants to give yourself to the Lord, you have that opportunity. If you want to surrender your life to the Lord so that He can give you eternal life, that's the invitation. You and I don't have much time here on earth. Time goes by quickly. It's a vapor. But God's asking you, if you'll give Him that vapor, He can give you life that lasts forever. You need to confess your faith in Jesus, repent, be baptized, so your sins can be forgiven, so you can be added to the church, where God can give you His Spirit. He can give you spiritual blessings that are hard to describe. They're so wonderful. If you're ready to give so that God can give more to you, we invite you to come this morning as we stand and sing.